Okay, it's Wednesday evening, 4/27/22. Don't panic, it's only a test. That's the title. Right down our alley. All right. Noah Webster's 1828 dictionary defines panic like this: to cause to sink. I'm thinking of Peter, you know. To depress or hollow, to shrink. A sudden fright without cause, or terror inspired by a trifling cause, or misapprehension of danger, extreme or sudden. Panic. A lot of people are freaking out nowadays and panicking over things. If you listen to mainstream media, there's just no telling. I heard something today that was disturbing, that they found that most of the conservatives, as far as Christians, church-going Christian-type people, they've totally bought into the Ukrainians are good and Russia's bad. Just the opposite of what the real truth is. You know, panicking. I mean, putting signs out everywhere, supporting Ukraine and making Russia look like they're bad when just the opposite is true. Well, they're going to find out soon. But anyway, people are panicking. You know, they don't know what to do. And I'm telling you, the devil delights in panicking you. So what are you going to do when he pulls his tactics? Are you going to panic? Well, we'll see here. All right, Luke 4. Somebody that I was with a few days ago started to bring up Ukraine, and I just dodged it. It never did open up. I'm thinking, nope, I know how they feel. I'm not going there. I avoid it. I'm going to avoid it. All right, Luke 4, verse 1. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Now get a grasp of that. He was led by the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing. When they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. Something just quickened to me. When Moses went up on the mountain for 40 days, he didn't eat. He wasn't being tempted. He was receiving the law. When he's in the presence of God, there wasn't any need to eat. And Jesus answered him, saying, it is written. It wasn't until after the 40 days that he hungered that he began to be tempted. And Jesus answered, saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And the devil taking him up into an high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power I will give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will I give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And he brought him to Jerusalem, and set him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus answering said unto him, it is said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. So Jesus had to be tempted of the devil before the power could be placed on him for service. All right, let's keep going. Strong's here, the word tempted means to test, endeavor, scrutinize, entice, or discipline. Discipline. Yep. Hebrews 12. Wherefore, verse 1, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. So even Jesus, in his trial and how hard it was, he had to look past it to the joy, it says. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection to the Father spirits and live? See, we think about that. Parents, say military, commanding officer, whatever, we endure. And we respect them and reverence them for how they trained us. But when it comes to spiritual things, we think we're going to get by, like Brother Hagin used to say, on flowery beds of ease. Doesn't work that way. For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruits of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. So, you know, we should be looking at this as a favor that God is doing for us. You know, I would hate to be one of those that didn't have a clue and didn't know what was going on and at this time. That's scary for me to think that I would just be totally blind and just buying whatever the mainstream media pushed. And I don't know, that to me, that frightens me more than knowing the truth, and especially knowing the truth about some things you really didn't want to know. God's done us a favor by what he's done. We're awake for a reason. Okay. Hebrews 5:8. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. All right here, Strong's. Obedience, attentive hearkening, compliance, and submission. He lets you go through these things so that now he can speak to you and you'll obey him. Suffered here, to experience a sensation or impression, usually painful. Anybody know about that? But it's for a reason. It's not just a happenstance and for no rhyme or reason. We're not just suffering because we're a sorry so-and-so. No. It's because we have submitted ourselves. Right here, I just said to you, obedience, attentive hearkening, compliance, and submission. Not going your own way, going God's way. You have to be trained because your flesh can be all over the place. Flesh is a spoiled brat. All right. Mark 4. A lot of scriptures. Verse 1, and he began again to teach by the seaside, and there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea, and the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And He taught them many things by parables and said unto them in his doctrine, Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. Some fell on stony ground where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground, and it did yield fruit that sprang up and increased and brought forth some 30, some 60, some 100. And he said unto them, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. When he was alone, that he that were with him, with the 12, asked him the parable. Asked of him the parable. And he said unto them, Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all things are done in parables. That seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. And he said unto them, Know ye not this parable? And how then will ye know all parables? The sower soweth the word, and these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. What was he trying to do to Jesus in the temptation? Steal the word. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who, when they had heard the word, immediately received it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time afterward. When affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things, enter in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. This isn't just about receiving healing and receiving finances here. This is about your life. This is the walk of faith. Satan comes to steal the word. In the walk of faith, whatever area it may be, it's all about holding on to the word. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. So, how does the Lord lead us? Anybody got a clue? How does He lead us? Well, He doesn't lead us by panic, I'll say that. He does not lead us by panic. He will never lead us by panic. If you're having a conniption and you're having a meltdown, you're probably not going to hear anything, because the Lord doesn't lead us that way. It's never by panic. He warned us that things would come against us because of the kingdom of God. See, the kingdom of God is just a different type of system. It goes against the grain of what we have lived in all of our life. It goes against the natural. All right. He warned us that things would come against us because the kingdom of God, what? It suffereth. It suffereth violence. This is Matthew 11:12. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. That's always been an unusual scripture. It suffereth, and the violent take it by force. It suffereth violence. Heaven has come to earth and given us heaven within. Heaven is in earth going against hell in earth. You kind of could say it's the clash of the titans. One world against another world. That's exactly what's going on. And it appears we're winning. I say we're winning, whether it appears or not. I don't have to have physical proof to know we're winning. God always wins. And when you're on God's side, you're going to win, period. All right, Strong's. The word suffereth here is to crowd oneself into or to be seized. I just see that as a tight place. It's like when the whole earth is infiltrated with the demonic and all of these things that are going on, we are squeezing our way in and we are taking ground. Even if it's an inch, we're taking ground. All right, violence, same thing. To crowd oneself into, to be seized. Violent there means a forcer or energetic. We take it by force. We do it energetically. We don't draw back. Force means to seize. We're taking our ground back. We're taking back what the enemy's stolen from us. Rather, you know, it's usually like the tortoise and the hare, or it feels like that. It appears that the hare's winning, but the turtle just keeps plodding. And he just keeps, you know, just a do-do-do-do-do, you know, he just walking just a little bit, but he's consistent and he doesn't stop and he's not gonna stop. And he finishes, crosses the finish line. We're in this world, but not of it. We're forcing the kingdom into an ungodly system. Think about that. And taking the ground back. It is a fierce battle, but we cannot be stopped. Not if we just keep on. Just keep on plunging ahead. I don't care if you think you can't put your foot in front of the other. You put your foot in front of the other. You just keep on plodding through. And you'll eventually make it to the end. God wants to know peace and not panic in this process. He wants us to know how to walk this process out in peace and not in panic. Okay? Maybe if we more fully understood what's taking place, instead of always thinking, well, what did I do wrong? Or, well, what is this? Is it this or is it that? And recognize it for what it is. This is the walk of faith. Okay. Peace is walking into the fire, the lion's den, the jail cell, and maintaining our focus and praising God and advancing forward. Not being deterred. Go read the Faith Hall of Fame. That's what it's all about. All of it. All right, let's look at Hebrews 11 or 13. This is how God will always lead us. He will never lead us in panic. Never. Panic is when your emotions get involved in things. Hebrews 13:20. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. God is a God of peace. Peace there is prosperity or to join. See, when you walk in peace, the God of all peace, you join up with him. And when you join up with him, it's prosperity. Just like no shortages, preparing for plenty. When everybody else is screaming, oh, we're not going to have any food. Everything's poisoned. They're all out there. They call it the truther. Well, as far as I'm concerned, that's a lie to me. That's not truth to me. Not when God says prepare for plenty. Why? Because the kingdom of God does not operate like the kingdom of Satan or the kingdoms of this world. I'll just say that. They don't operate the same. There's a supply in the kingdom of God that they don't know anything about. And they can't take that from us. They can't. All right, Satan's tactics do not change this fact. So we might as well enjoy the journey and remain at peace. Instead of getting all upset about it. We've had a great victory around here. We actually got two things done. Two people actually came out and fixed things. And we got a third one coming next week. I mean, we were panicking. It was getting so ridiculous. We had like five things on the list. Now we've got just three, I think. So I'm thinking, that's progress. Learning to think, well, Lord, I just praise you anyway. I just give you thanks in this situation because this you said it's your will in Christ Jesus concerning me. So I'm just going to stay on that mode instead of getting grumpy about that person or making some comment I shouldn't make. Let's just stay in that mode. What does that do? That loses the kingdom of God to go forward because it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. It's not panic. What's panic going to do? Get you on the phone and gripe somebody out? What is that going to do? Nothing. You might have to end up finding somebody else to do it. All right, let's keep going here. Colossians 3. There's so many good scriptures. And I didn't put them all, so aren't you glad? Might be here all night. Colossians 3:15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. I always say peace is the umpire, like the umpire in a softball, hardball, whatever. Let it be the umpire. Let peace always make the call. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. See, being thankful is going to help you. Let peace make the call. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing with grace in your hearts to the Lord, and whatever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. That's keeping that good attitude that keeps you in peace and not in panic. It's an attitude that keeps that peace ruling in your heart. When you start going that other way, you better get a hold of it real quick and start going back the other way. Let's not go down. Let's go up. All right, Ephesians 2. For He is our peace. Verse 14. Who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. There is no barrier. Heaven is a realm, and we are under the commonwealth of heaven. Did you know that? There is an open heaven. There is not a closed throne room. It doesn't matter the space between. We're all the same. We're sitting with Him in heavenly places, right? Having abolished in His flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in Himself of twain one new man, so making peace, that He might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh. For through Him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. So how do we get access? Peace. Peace. All right, Philippians 4, which y'all really probably know this one backwards and forwards. Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything. Didn't say for everything, it said in everything. By prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding. I like the Amplified. It says transcends all. I like that. Shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Who better? Who better than Paul to be the example? When he was in the jail, what did he do? Sing praises to God. What happened? Angel showed up and broke him out of jail. We must discipline our minds to remain at peace and rest even in the midst of Satan's violence against us. It's a choice. It's a discipline. Now you know why the training. He has to trust you. If you have a meltdown and you're all over the place every time something happens, how's he going to trust you to listen to him and move with him? You're not going to be able to. So he has to let you go through things so to see how you're going to perform. We got to look at it this way. And that way we won't feel so bad. There is an end to this. There is a goal that we're trying to reach. See, it's not just this is the way it is for the rest of my life and it's never going to be any better. No, I don't believe that. Not at all. Was it that way for Jesus? No, he came out of it. But when he came out, it was full of power, right? Why? God could trust him because he had been tempted of the devil and he passed the test. All right, Romans chapter 8. For there is now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sent in his Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. When you have a fleshly meltdown, that's not walking in the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. But see, you got to stay in the Spirit. What's staying in the Spirit? Keep that peace. Keep your mind stayed on the right things. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if we live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Let me tell you right now, one of the things that we really need to guard against is feeling sorry for yourself. We don't feel sorry for ourselves. No. We don't award ourselves that. That starts leading you down a road you do not want to go. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. See, we may be walking through the fire and it may feel pretty hot, but we just keep on walking. Because they're going to see when we come out of the other end, a manifestation of the sons of God. For the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willing, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. See, the creature, that's this nature that we have to deal with. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. Even Jesus learned obedience by the things which he suffered, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Good message. Always, in any situation, find your center, your core, your inner peace. What happens? Peace returns. All is well. See, when you dwell that way, all is well. When peace makes the call, all is well. Regardless of the situation, all is well. See, peace bypasses the understanding. Okay, 1 Peter 5. Verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Lord, just get this off of me. Ever prayed that? Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He has pity parties, and he coming to invite you. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. God allows the test to see how far you have come. When you remain in peace, see, when you remain in peace, you don't let the panic and the chaos. When you start acting the way that he wants you to act in these situations, then you're getting somewhere. It's kind of going like going through basic training. All right, guard your peace above all else. Let's look at a few more scriptures. 1 Corinthians 10:13. When you get to where, when panic and chaos is there, you can maintain your peace, you're getting somewhere. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. All right, 1 Corinthians 14:33. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. All right, 2 Corinthians 4, 17 and 18. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but to the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. That's how Jesus was able to look. He said he looked at the joy. I'm thinking, boy, what joy could there have been in that, you know? He was looking at the end result instead of what he was going through. All right, 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, we walk by faith and not by sight. All right, back to Romans. Romans chapter 14. Is there a Romans 14? Did I write? Yeah, there is. There's a six. There's 16 verses. 14, 17. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another. We're to maintain the peace at all cost. Don't argue with people. It gets you nowhere and it will steal your peace. Just plain and simple. All right, Romans 15, 13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. You want the power of the Holy Ghost working in your life? Stay in peace. Keep your peace. Maintain your peace. When you're going through a test, it will show where you are on the peace thermometer. I said, Lord, would you show me where I am on the thermometer? Always let peace make the call on what you do. Emotions are not an option. Always let peace make the call in whatever you do. That's just plain and simple. Just remember that. Like a ball game. Let peace be the umpire. Let peace make the call. Safe. When peace makes the call, you're safe. All right. Jesus walked out the peace plan for man while he was here. He always let peace make the call and was not swayed by circumstances. When his kin showed up to take charge of him, he put them in their place. When they tried to get him to run to his friend Lazarus' side when he was ill, he remained calm, stayed in peace, and followed the Spirit, and everything turned out all right. Then he was betrayed and had to stand trial. Everyone forsook him and fled, but Jesus stayed in peace, and he even went to the cross by faith and saved us all. God could trust Jesus with his business. Now, I hope you can fully understand the process you're in. God has to know that he can trust you with his business.